Yo, what's up, guys? I'm about to tell you why I think that Kevin Durant is coming back to the Bay Area. It just seems like it's picking up steam, and what seemed like a pipe dream has slowly started to feel like a possibility. And if I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves and just being a just insanely optimistic Warriors fan, which I have no reason to be, but it's the only hope that I have right now, I'm just going all in and hoping that this is happening. So I'm going to tell you why and also the options around a Kevin Durant to the Warriors reunion. So just kind of doing a little news recap and just all the events. So starting back with a couple Fridays ago when the Suns came to play the Warriors, I guess it was last Friday. And, you know, Durant's having a good time, looks great, you know, jawing with Gary Payton, so on and so forth. Looks happy to be back in the Bay Area. Nothing to do with this. However, the real story is Joe Lacob was sitting next to Kevin Durant's agent. He picks who he wants to sit next to. It's his stadium. He picks who he wants to sit next to. Sits next to KD's longtime friend and agent for the game. And apparently, according to Anthony Slater, they were having talks in whatever the elite's lounge is, kind of behind more or less closed doors during halftime. And then also after the game, Bob Myers, who orchestrated the original Kevin Durant signing to the Warriors, and was happy to be announcing the Suns game, also heads back into this elite lounge to have a conversation. This is just all me, just they're just flabbing gabs. I don't really put too much stock in this, but I think the point is that they had a discussion, at least Joe Lacob and Kevin Durant's agent did, about, hey, would Kevin be interested in coming back? The Suns are, you know, they're not going to be competitive. It sounds like they're not going to get Jimmy Butler for Bradley Beal, because the latest news is that Bradley Beal is intent on staying and is no trade clause, basically controls the entire history of our, or the entire fate of all our happiness here. So that all being said, you know, I think Lacob's just exploring, hey, you know, would Durant, if it all worked out and the Suns agreed to a trade, would he want to come back? And I think the fact that it was extended conversation and it seemed everything was amicable, I'm going to assume that that night opened the door for KD to think about coming back to the Bay Area. Okay, so going to the whole news cycle of the last 48 hours, which has just been absolutely insane. We have confirmation that the Suns and Warriors are definitely talking, picking up steam. There has apparently been a three-way trade discussed between the Heat, the Suns, and the Warriors, obviously revolving around Jimmy Butler, Durant, and Wiggins, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. We know now, and this is Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So I know a lot could change, especially in the next, whatever, 10 minutes. But where it's been, where it's led right now, is that we know the Suns have interest in Jonathan Kuminga, and the Suns are known to covet Dre in a trade, Draymond Green, which isn't that the craziest thing? If Draymond Green and Kevin Durant got traded for each other, which, knowing the history, knowing that maybe Draymond is the reason Kevin Durant left in the first place, you guys all know the history, the irony, and just the juxtaposition of everything would just be insane. But Draymond fits the Suns pretty well. They need better defense, and we're going to talk a bit about more about it more if, you know, trading Draymond versus trading Wiggins makes more sense for the Warriors in a trade for Durant. We'll get into that. But then right after and around the time that we know that the Suns are interested in Dre, we also learn that Nurkic is being traded for Jonas Valanciunas, basically Draymond's number one rival in the world. Yusuf Nurkic is being shipped out. I'm not going to read too much into that, but hey, it might be just a little bit more than a coincidence saying, hey, we have something in place for Draymond, but on the condition that Nurkic, at Dre's request or at Nurkic's request, is out of here. Just kind of reading the tea leaves here. We know, and this is the most compelling thing here, that we know that the Suns are at least not only listening to deals, which was the original story, but it sounds like they've made some theoretical negotiations here, right? So this is per The Athletic, that, quote, the Warriors have only been met with an exorbitant asking price in theoretical structures, end quote. And then I'm paraphrasing here, but basically they want Draymond, they want Jonathan Kuminga, and then a quote, essentially everything of future value, end quote. So what I'm hearing is that, hey, the Suns are coming to the negotiating table and we're having some talks about, hey, Durant can be traded and hey, this is the price we want. So in theory, that's even though theoretically, there's a theoretical offer on the table. And I don't know what that means, right? Does that mean it's Draymond, it's Kuminga, it's Pajemski, it's call it, you know, it's going to have to be Looney and GP2 just for matching salary matching purposes. It's probably three first round picks and some pick swaps, just basically every draft pick that we have. I mean, at what point is it too much? You know, is that too much even, or do you just pull the trigger, right? If they want whatever the max we can give, three first round picks, three pick swaps, and basically all our seconds and everything else. I mean, I guess that's still better than not doing anything, you know, and otherwise you're just kicking the can down the road and you're just going to go make a play for Vucevic or, you know, something and just try again in the off season. I think the Warriors want to make something happen. And if that's the price, it would be hard pressed to say the Warriors are going to turn that down. But I think as time goes, as leverage comes in, as, you know, the Suns' hopes of Jimmy Butler fade and are already gone, I think we can get to some more of a reasonable deal here. And again, we're going to kind of explore this in a second. But I mentioned the name Vucevic because one of the more recent tweets I've seen, I'm just living on Twitter these days, is that the Bulls' Vucevic is kind of resigned to staying with the Bulls because the Dubs seem to have moved on to bigger ventures. And it makes me think that the LaVine trade, there was talks that the LaVine and Vucevic trade was almost hammered out. The fact that the Bulls moved on and did the trade with the Kings to send LaVine there, I mean, it sounds like the Warriors essentially said, hey, this is our backup plan. You know, we're gonna go chase bigger fish. Maybe they knew that, hey, Durant could be interested in coming. Maybe, you know, the news cycle is always way behind, right? Like the Warriors are, everything we're learning today is probably things that have more or less happened, you know, even a week ago. These are talks that have happened a while ago. You know, I think the Warriors caught wind that, hey, Durant can be had for the right price because the Suns know that Beal's not waiving his trade clause. They know they're not getting Jimmy Butler. And the only way to get him is to move Durant. Or if they don't even want Jimmy Butler, they just need to shake up the roster and trade Durant. So, you know, again, reading between the tea leaves, I think that that's why the Warriors have, I mean, they're calling around everywhere. So, you know, it's definitely not a done deal. The fact that they're checking in on every single all-star, but it does seem like they have enough hope to have let the LaVine deal and potentially Vucevic go to the back burner and basically say, hey, we think we have something better than this trade, which I and a lot of the Warriors insiders said, hey, I think we're down for LaVine. I don't know if I would have been down for LaVine and Vucevic if it meant giving up Wiggins, but that's another story. But either way, you know, it was a pretty good option at the time. And the fact that the Warriors were saying, hey, you know, I think we have something better means maybe they have something better cooking. And let's just, before we get into more Durant talk, let's just say, you know, I think if somehow Durant doesn't work out, the Jimmy Butler thing could potentially just still end up happening if, you know, the Suns can't get it done and the Heat are the only ones that are really truly on the hot seat because they need to get rid of Jimmy Butler. They are not keeping him on the roster. He will not play for them. The locker room will not take him back. They need to do something with him. So, hey, we'll give you Andrew Wiggins for Jimmy Butler. And that's in whatever filler contracts. We don't even need to give you picks because you guys are stuck with Jimmy Butler. If that's the case, sure, let's take him on. Maybe he signs an extension. Maybe he doesn't. In which case, if he doesn't, hey, we can either, you know, we can just drop him and now he has some space to work with. It's not the end of the world. So that's not a terrible contingency plan. The other plan that I could potentially get on board with is a Zion Williamson trade. I assume it would be sending out Kuminga because there's just no way we can do a Zion, Draymond, and Kuminga front court. I just don't see that working. If you're gonna take the upside of Zion, you have to send some upside back. Zion only at $34, $36 million, so you don't have to send out quite as much. You can still keep a pretty good team built around like a Curry, Wiggins, Pajemski, Zion, and Dre. Maybe find a stretch. You can't even find a stretch center there because Dre has to play center and Williamson would be the four. Anyways, it's a huge risk and it's a lot of trust in our training staff, which I have nothing but the highest faith in Rick Celebrini. But just like the Luka project, you know, Zion is an even bigger project. And you come to the Bay Area, to California, and there's In-N-Out Burger. Draymond just opened an Ethiopian fusion restaurant. It's all stacked against Zion to lose weight. Anyways, back to Kevin Durant, the trades, right? So what gives me optimism is there are potentially two paths to a Durant reunion with the Warriors. The first being just a straight up trade with just the Warriors and the Suns. So I think this is the situation where Draymond would be involved. Obviously, you're sending out Kuminga, you're sending out Draymond, which I believe ends up being like $34-35 million worth of salary. You're gonna have to send out Looney, you're gonna have to send out GP2, which is another 17. So that's basically the 51, I believe, that it takes just to match salaries with Durant. And then you're throwing in every pick in the house. And let's just kind of think about, if you're the Warriors, is that the road you want to take? You're basically going all in. You're trading away every bit of future potential in Kuminga and your picks. The hard part about that is, hey, going all in, Draymond is an all-in piece, right? He has 2 years left, just like, Curry's prime, just like Steve Kerr. It's hard to part with Draymond because he fits that timeline. So it's a little unorthodox. That being said, if you're getting Kevin Durant, obviously, as much as I love Draymond, as much as I love Kuminga, sorry, Kevin Durant's just way better. And that, I think we would all agree, right, that you have to go get Kevin Durant, and that we can disagree in terms of how many picks we're going to send out, because it really is just wiping the cupboard clean. It is bare. There is nothing else the Warriors can do except try to just sign free agents in the off seasons, and you're just in for a 10-year rebuild until you have a chance at anything for a while, and you need a lot of luck, and you're just going to be the Warriors of the 90s for quite some time. But hey, in the league these years, all you can do is just try to lure free agents and stack picks and just commit to a rebuild anyways. I don't like half measures. I don't like trying to just do this two timeline whatever thing we're trying to do. You need to commit to a rebuild, and this would be committing to a rebuild. So do the Suns, does that move make sense for them, right? They're looking at a team now built around Booker, Beal, Jonathan Kuminga as your three, Draymond as your four, Jonas Valanciunas as your five. And then you have a whole bunch of picks to start doing something with. I kind of like that. I mean, it's a quasi better team because you have some defense finally. There's no shortage of scoring with Booker on the roster to begin with, and now Kuminga. I mean, you could always use more scoring, especially losing Kevin Durant. But you could argue that it does make them maybe better, or at least shakes things up for them in the short term. It helps them in the long term. You're getting Kuminga, you're getting the picks, but then Draymond doesn't really fit that timeline. So why would you want Draymond instead of, say, Wiggins there? So they're kind of also trying to do a little two timeline thing. So that's kind of more up to the Suns. That all being said, I think that trade makes sense, honestly, for both teams, and the Warriors are probably going to end up having to pay a little steeper in terms of picks, but God, I just don't care. I don't care about the picks. We need to compete now because, again, number one most important thing is that you're trying to give Steph Curry another chance to compete for a ring. That is all that matters. I can deal with another 7 to 10 years of just the Warriors kind of just waffling in and out of the playoffs, just kind of like we've been doing, if it means giving Steph Curry one more chance at a deep playoff run. And I've talked about it before. Look at the West. After the next even now, but the next couple years, like the Thunder are, it's going to be hard to beat the Thunder. They have so much, they're so good as it is, and they have so many picks going forward. They could go get Kevin Durant, and hey, no one has a chance anymore. You look at what the Spurs just did, right? They got De'Aaron Fox, and they have Wemby and Stephon Castle, and a ton of picks. Like, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Timberwolves of Anthony Edwards, they can put some pieces around that. Like, the Rockets are up and coming. I can go down the list, but the West is going to be just insurmountable, especially for a Warriors team without any superstars. So I'm committed to this rebuild. The window is, hey, maybe the next 2 years. Okay. The other talks in the news was that a three-way trade has been discussed. And I mean, what it in my mind would look like, and it seems pretty straightforward, right? So the main objective here is Suns need to find a way to get Jimmy Butler to the Suns, because that's the only place apparently that he'll play, even though a couple weeks ago it was anywhere but Miami. than it was anywhere but Miami and Memphis. I'm not going to do the Jimmy Butler dance, but apparently Jimmy Butler wants to go to the Suns. So if that's the case and Beal won't wave his claws, you get Butler to the Suns. The Warriors get Kevin Durant, and the Warriors would send, basically, you're sending out Wiggins and Kuminga. You'd be sending Kuminga to the Suns, right? So the Suns are getting Butler and Kuminga, which is a pretty good haul for Durant, and some picks. The Heat will be receiving Andrew Wiggins, a bunch of filler to fill what they lost with Butler's contract. So they're probably taking on your Looney, your GP2, your probably a Kyle Anderson contract, and whatever else it takes to make the trade even. And then they're probably getting the picks as well. So that it makes sense, right? Because the Heat are kind of stuck, and they're going to take whatever they can get, even if it is just Wiggins and maybe a pick. You know, that's enough for the Heat to make that trade. The Suns, if you're gonna make something happen, you know, you lose Durant, but you're bringing in picks, you're bringing in Butler, you're bringing Kuminga. That's not a bad haul for Durant, depending on the picks. And then for the Warriors, you're getting Durant, and you're sending out all that stuff, and your team would be left with Curry, Durant, Draymond in that situation. And then, I mean, you're probably holding on to Pajemski. You're holding on to, let's see, Santos. You still hopefully have Moody. You may or may not have Buddy. You have Post. You have TJD. You have Lindy Waters to fill kind of a wing spot. You're thin. Don't get it twisted. You're thin, and you know you're relying on Steph and, oh, sorry, Schroeder would have to go out also to the Heat, to make that contract work. So you're basically down to Steph, Pods, and Durant as your real only shot creators in that lineup, unless we truly believe that Moody's actually breaking out, which maybe he is. And he no. Side note, I think Moses Moody, if we can hold on to him and he's gonna play like he's playing, he's turning into probably, other than Wiggins, our best 3-and-D guy, right? Like if he's gonna be shooting 40% from three, I mean, his shot actually looks as smooth as anybody's on this team, maybe even including Steph. I've always loved the look of Moody's release. And now he's playing with confidence. You know, he still leaves a little bit to be desired defensively, but his defense, at least on ball, at least, you know, the physicality and the effort is much better than, say, like a Buddy Hield, than a Lindy Waters. So hey, you're getting a pretty good spacing player, role player in Moody, and I think he's going to be put in the starting lineup with a lot of these lineups. I think probably Quentin Post is going to be in these lineups. Maybe you can find a way to hold on to Looney, depending on how the salaries match. And if that's the case, now you still have some bigs to play with Draymond. So you know, we're kind of looking, you know, hearing that roster versus hearing the Curry, Wiggins, Durant roster. I don't know which trade is truly better for the Warriors. The question, it starts with, would you rather, does it pair better, Curry, Durant with Dre or Wiggins? And you know, all emotions aside from losing Dre, you know, I think we've ripped off the Band-Aid by getting rid of Klay. So losing Dre and hearing that Dre almost left for Memphis a couple years ago, I would hate to lose him, and our defense would absolutely struggle to the point where I don't know if we'd really even be contenders without Dre. That being said, I mean, Wiggins has been our most consistent, healthy player on the team, maybe even including Steph, in terms of consistency. Draymond's been missing a lot of games. He's hurt. He's just had a lot of mileage on him. Wiggins is only 29. Wiggins spaces the floor. Wiggins scores maybe call it like 8 or 9 points more per game. Does Draymond, everything he does, the intangibles, does that make up another 8 or 9 points that he's saving defensively, that he's, you know, creating, that, I mean, he turns the ball over a lot. You know, those are possessions and points. I mean, let's not act like Wiggins isn't a great defensive player either. I've been clamoring for him to make an all defensive team at some point as one of the best perimeter kind of wing defenders out there. I mean, you think about him and Durant as your wing defenders, and Durant gives you some rim protection as well. Averages over a block per game for his career. If you can somehow find another center with some better rim protection that can finish, right? TJD comes to mind, but can he finish within that offense? Now the defense might be okay. Can you find another point of attack defender now that you lose GP2? in either situation? Basically, can the defense hold up, or can the offense carry you enough to offset that? These are the questions we have to ask. If push came to shove, and this is just me in the moment, I think I would rather hold on to Andrew Wiggins and build around a Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Durant team, and then you can find some sort of a role-playing center or defensive player to replace Dre. As hard as it is to replace, basically the heart of the team, this is the modern day NBA where offense beats defense. I mean, we've seen it. The Warriors defense is good. It's maybe flirting with the top 10 defense with Dre. It would definitely fall back to being a middle of the road at best defense without him. But this league's all about offense, guys. I mean, and this league's all about your stars. And if Steph Curry is going to be scoring 22 points a game without enough help, it's just you're not going to win anyway. So you need to go. We've already talked about you need to go get an alpha scorer or someone just to compliment Steph, take some pressure off of him, get some creation. So it's just to free Steph up. We already know Durant is the answer in every single way. And then you have Wiggins who can also give just provide both of them a little bit more spacing and take a lot of the load off the perimeter defense as well. So go get a shot blocker behind it. I think I prefer the three-way trade, which also may take less draft picks too. Right? Because maybe the Suns are just content with getting Kuminga and Jimmy Butler. Maybe give them a one, sure. Then you can trade Wiggins and all those picks or all those players to the Heat. Maybe you throw them a swap, or you could throw them a one. That's still just giving two firsts. That's better than what the Suns are probably asking in a straight up trade for Kuminga, Draymond, and all our picks. Maybe they want Pajemski too. Maybe they want Moody too. Everything of future value makes you think they want all our young players. They want all our picks. And I mean, other than the Heat, who are super on the hot seat and have to make a move, the Warriors are just right there next to them, just feeling the pressure, and they are steaming as well. But guys, I, for all these reasons, think that everything I'm hearing, just the language, just the Warriors' activity, something's going to happen. The Warriors are going to make a move. The Warriors are going to, if they have to, overpay, because we've been kicking this can down the street for far too long. I mean, you can be patient and just hope someone comes up, becomes available in the offseason, but you're back in the exact same situation as now where there are players available. Like we said, your Durants, your Zions, even your Brandon Ingrams, your Jimmy Butlers of the world. And then last note, if we do end up with Jimmy Butler, I don't love it. If you're giving up Wiggins, Wiggins might be better than Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler also might be Jimmy Butler, and he makes his team better. Not in a Kevin Durant way where we're borderline contenders, but he helps and hopefully he doesn't tear apart the locker room. And we'll see how that all works out. But the next time we talk, Dennis Schroeder will be available to be, what's the word? Accumulated with aggregated, excuse me, his contract can be aggregated tomorrow. So I think the first time we're going to see anything happen will be tomorrow. And if we're pushing down the deadline and the Suns are playing hardball, then we might see something on Thursday. But I will be with you guys. We have a back-to-back coming up at the Jazz, at the Lakers. No Luka, no AD there. Let's put them both. Win them both. Go out on top. Shake up the roster. Get even better. All right, guys. Good luck. Hope you aren't checking Twitter every 5 minutes like I am. And I hope to be back with some good news. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Like, subscribe, share this with your friends. Help me get going, guys. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.